there, darlings. Welcome to the Soccer Central podcast. James Sharman here, as always, with you on this Thursday, joined by these two dolts, Brendan Dunlop and Thomas Dobby.
With you sometimes on Thursdays. How you doing, boys? Missed
you. You've been away recently.
I know.
I got two, stuck in traffic.
Two more, I'll be away. it was men's league playoffs last week. We had a 6:45 puck drop. I couldn't miss it. The guys need me on the left wing.
Let me guess. Your pace is your strength.
Definitely. Yeah.
Skating quicksand for sure.
As listeners to the podcast would know, Dobby's described my athletic prowess very well, I think, and very appropriately. I run like a 400-pound man.
There's a reason why we talk about sports, don't play sports.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right, I can't talk.
And I've accepted. It took me a long time working with you guys, but I've accepted I'm the worst athlete in this room, and such is life.
You're going to be away another couple weeks. When?
The next, doing the sun vacay.
You're out of town. What a surprise, eh?
Always out of town.
I brought you a gift, though.
So jealous.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
From where?
I'm not going to spoil it. No, it's not from anywhere.
Oh, no, it's just a gift.
Because you showed up like right now, this would have happened before we were on air.
Oh, nice. Elena Watsko.
Yeah, there you go.
Beyond this line. We should let everyone know, right, that Dunlop, as mentioned before, is I would say dating. You live with the girl, but like way above
punching
your
way
station
above
in life.
Yeah.
Elena Watsko, who I used to watch an American, Canadian Idol, I was amazed by how good she was. Then I find out this idiot's dating her. I'm thinking, Elena, what are you doing? Really? But she's got a disc.
Yeah.
Nice.
She's got her debut album, Beyond This Line, is out.
She's just disgusting. I don't know why you didn't want to. She's hideous.
No idea. But she wouldn't sign that for you. She didn't know if you'd appreciate it.
Yeah, what the hell is that?
That's nice. No, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's very cool.
How many songs? One,
if we still have listeners.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9?
Is that making an EP or an LP?
I don't know.
I don't know the difference.
A loop. Listen, we should get moving because
we've
got a short podcast because I'm late as it is. Professional reasons. I will have to stay late to cover the Dnipro Ajax Europa League extra time.
At least you're saying it in proper Ukrainian.
Well, that's the story though, isn't it? And it's a great story today for Ukrainian teams. Two have qualified for the quarterfinals in the Europa League. Dynamo Kiev and Dnipro. That's a great story, isn't it?
Sure, yeah.
Ukrainian descent should be happy about this.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been a bit of a rough time politically there, so good for them. You just alerted me that two Ukrainian teams went through.
Okay,
no,
so you're
idea, right, yeah. Right. Just looking at the scores here.
No, well, I mean, Dynamo Kiev, they pounded Everton 5-2 today. Some great goals in that one. Really good goals.
And just saw the score.
Artunis scored the last one for Kiev. You got to see this thing. Watch your Sportsnet World Review tonight, and you'll see it. It is something pretty special. Yarmolenko scored a great goal. Lukaku scored again. So, yeah, good game in that one. Just quickly.
The English crisis, so it continues. All the English
teams. Not one English team in the quarterfinals of either the Champions League or, but there's two Ukrainian teams.
Yeah.
Well, this is the end of English football, which will only, be fixed with the
until next year.
International saviors of Jack Wilshere and Sato Berahino and Harry Kane, right?
He's called up to the squad.
Euro 2016. Yep. It's not.
As Roy Hodgson says, the world's been waiting to see Harry Kane play for England. England's been waiting to see Harry Kane play for England, not the world. Don't put pressure
for
on
for about
kid.
A month, too. Yeah, not,
I don't know. The Harry Kane fan clubs in Albania are huge. Check them out.
They might be.
International break already next weekend. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
We're showing 3 days full, jam packed of games.
I do like that they've spread it out as opposed to just the, 30 games at one time on a Friday afternoon.
For us, it's much better, right? As far as showing more games.
Yeah, and you can see more. I think we've had that discussion before where sometimes games just get lost completely, right? You can't focus on all of them. All of a sudden, you have some 3-3 game that was great, but spreading it out is much better.
It makes the qualifiers mean more.
Yeah.
Because you can see them.
Much like March Madness.
Well, it does to an extent because combined with this new structure is these groups which really heavily are advantageous to the big teams who aren't not going to qualify, right? Which is, I guess, good, but does it add for competitive value? I'm not sure so much. England, Lithuania, with all due respect to Lithuania, they're not winning that game.
No.
Right?
It's a walk.
It is. Anyway, nice way to sidetrack away from the Europa
League,
boys. Congratulations.
Sorry.
Roma lost to Fiorentina really quickly. The stadium was deserted, like Sunderland on a Saturday night. Last week.
I do remember. Did they go after the manager in the dugout?
No, they didn't actually. No, poor Rudy, I think he made a quick exit. Wolfsburg, they're through, being Inter Milan.
Yeah.
this is a fun team
Inter
to watch.
Inter were awful.
Wolfsburg. Well, today, actually, they played pretty well.
In fairness, first I watched 15 minutes. Yeah, the last 15 minutes of the first half.
You're judging your entire opinion on the headline,
absolutely.
Basically.
No, no.
They could have scored, man. I tell you, Wolfsburg, their keeper was, Benaglia was superb in the first half.
That's Dobby's World Cup fantasy-winning keeper.
Fantasy-winning, yeah, right.
You didn't win the pool?
No, God, no.
Oh, I don't remember.
Not even close. I did have him.
Yeah. It's odd that I remember that. You remember perfect scores, and I remember you drafted the Swiss
certainly
goalie.
Certainly didn't have him. Oh, VCU. Oh, I missed.
Stop talking about it.
Does this drive you mad?
Yeah. Marsh Madness?
So yeah, I guess you're not coming to the pub tomorrow to watch it?
Well, I thought about it, but I can't. I'm on dad duty.
Oh, so bring
Marsh
her.
Break, oh. Right?
Bring her out.
With these bunch of freaking idiots? No. No, I would go for beers, I would, but and quite frankly, I'd probably be bored out of my skull.
But there's tons of cleavage there.
Which pub are you going to?
Oh, we're going to go to Shula's.
The local. The old
Shula's.
Local.
Yeah. There is a lot of cleavage there, isn't there?
Oh, my God. It's the
outstanding.
Best. You love it. We've had great times there.
Yeah. We have, haven't we?
Yeah.
Back in the old days.
Yeah.
Meetings. Let's have a footy show meeting. Meetings.
Corporate lunch.
Oops.
Discuss the direction of the franchise.
Yes. It's going to be great.
It'd be a franchise, shouldn't it?
Anyway, our old friend JK might join us.
Oh,
he's
going
to join us.
JK?
Yeah, remember? When he called into the quiz this year, JK.
Oh, JK. Oh, really? Yeah. Wow. Yeah. He loves his college basketball. Uh-huh. Never used to. When I first met JK, he didn't get college sports.
What, like in 98?
Didn't have it at all. No, back in 2000. And
whole time I've known him, he's been into it.
Whatever it was.
It's been 9 years.
Yeah?
Yeah, I feel like.
He's changed. He's half the man he used to be.
He's just evolved into a North American.
I have nothing against Marsh Madness. In fact, I think it's a really cool concept. It's awesome. I just don't give a flying crap about college sports. Yeah.
I also think you're just upset because no one is talking about the Snooker World Cup right now.
The World Championship.
Whatever.
Okay, to the Champions League.
All right, Champions League, shall we? That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yes, Real Madrid played Schalke. That was the time before.
That was last week.
But at least your books. Have
Monaco, Arsenal.
There you go. Your book's very organized.
Well, listen, Arsenal beat Monaco.
I remember I said a couple weeks
really
ago
well.
That they'd have a really good shot, and they just came up short. And I think that it was expected they couldn't be worse. And you look back and you just think that whole game, as soon as it started playing out, just think, how could they let that third goal go in at home? Because they got 2-1, they were getting their chance, and then they left themselves totally exposed. And in the end, obviously, that cost them the tie. But I think, mentally and psychologically, the whole second match there, when you know you need three, it's such a mountain to climb as opposed to the two. But even when they got the second, just couldn't quite get over the hump. And, it's Arsenal in a nutshell. I think you tweeted that, Charms. It's a perfect way to say it because, there's a lot of flair and there's this and that. And they played well and they just can't quite get over that hump and become that elite team. And I think that's what, 5 years in a row at the round of 16 stage? Not good.
And you look at how the final 20 minutes played out in Monaco too. I thought that they were going to get it, especially with the last 15 minutes. They kept pressing. Monaco looked unsettled. They were unorganized. I thought, wow, Arsenal's going to do this. And they didn't.
Although Monaco got chances on the counter as well constantly. I couldn't believe that they didn't score as well.
Yeah. But that was bound to happen with Arsenal having to.
Sure.
And
that's why these second legs are so good. I mean, they're so wide open. Even the Man City-Barca game, which obviously we'll get to, was just so open. You can't even fathom that finish 1-0. I mean, there's only one goal in that game. Chances at both ends. Really, really fun spectacle to watch.
Right here, discuss Barcelona, Man City.
All right,
Can I get a quick Arsenal point in there? Because the fans torched my Twitter account because I said it was great that they'd lost. I think this is better, having seen them gone out and narrowly have gone out this time, than to squeak through if they'd got a third goal there and get through to the quarterfinals and everyone think, oh, well, losing in the quarterfinals of the Champions League against the best isn't that bad. And then this offseason, they can operate the way that they have in years past.
Yeah.
Whereas this
year,
the pressure's
on. Do you think anything's
going
to change? I don't know.
It should. I just think that the climate is different now.
I wonder.
But they've spent money. It's not like they have it. It's
and
not like they're
Wenger's still in been saying, areas. Wait for my kids to come through. And domestically, they are, right? They are playing really well right now. They're getting pretty much 100% healthy. Debuchy's still out. Wilshire's still out, big deal. But they are getting healthier. They are playing better. But
wait for my
kids. I think you can't give Wenger another crutch here, right?
What kids are we talking about here, though?
Francis Conklin.
Well, Conklin's a prime example. Yeah, being brilliant.
Okay.
Not so much kids, but just his team, the Ozils, the Sanchez are adapting. But you're right, because it's not a very young team.
No.
You're right. Walcott would be one, I suppose.
He's using that excuse.
Oxlade-Chamberlain, who's out for another month.
Oxlade-Chamberlain and Walcott so similar, like mirrored, always hurt. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if these guys will ever stay healthy for a full season.
But the excuse
as well.
that team is marinating in the oven still, and then what? Will be ready to win the Champions League? No, they'll be ready to finish the top four every year.
Yeah. 1 point behind Man City right now.
Going out this early, I think they're going to take, you know, it's going to be a lot of pressure. The board will feel it, and maybe that'll force the hand. Does that mean that they move Wenger and make their own decisions? No.
Should they?
Not necessarily. I think that debate is valid all season. It has been.
Is it maybe this anymore? Is time. I think it's got to be done.
What if if they win the FA Cup and finish second in the league, which is both very possible?
Did that last year.
They didn't
finish second, but they won the FA Cup, top four still.
Another trophy, though, this year, you know, would be...
I don't know.
Just trying to figure out what is Arsenal.
A plum draw for them. It really was. On paper, it looked so good to get Monaco at that stage and to go out and, the fight back. But again, Wenger, all that matters is they didn't get through.
He's been coaching his parts of 5 decades now, right? He's not won one European championship. Not one. Not a UEFA Cup, Europa League, Champions League. Mm-hmm. Hasn't won anything. He's been to 3 finals, lost them all. Right? What is his legacy going to be? Obviously, he's a legend at Arsenal. I understand that, but not to discount what he's done at Arsenal, but prior to Arsene Wenger, George Graham did a pretty good job there as well.
Do you think that his kind of, you talk about his legend and his stature and his legacy, do you think it deteriorates every year?
Yep.
The longer that they don't make a European Cup final again, don't win the Premier League?
I think every year since we've been doing this podcast, his legend and legacy has only deteriorated.
So if he walked away 5 years ago, we still see Arsene Wenger as a legend and he turned this team around. But it all would have depended on what the successor could do and if they could.
There's an undercurrent of this thought that he's a stubborn man, a little bit old-fashioned in his principles, a man that won't do what he has to do to adapt to the modern game.
And it's so funny you say that. 10 years ago, he was the
visionary, right?
It's so funny you say that. Because
he's a visionary.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. The game changes and you have to acclimatize to it. And I think in any avenue in life, when you get to a certain age, and he's an older gentleman now, you're not, you know, as willing to adapt or maybe as sharp to recognize proactively when to change and alter things as opposed to reactively.
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
He's been in reactive mode since we've started this podcast. Really?
Like 20 minutes ago?
So we got 6-7 years of the pod now?
It's only been 20 minutes.
Yeah.
God. Oh, God. Barcelona, Man City. Barca win
1-0. Get a babysitter tomorrow. Come up with some pints. You'll feel great.
Barca 1, Man City 0. Barca move on easily. Could have been, what, 7-8-0 on that one?
Yeah.
We keep saying it about... He was very good.
Shrewsbury Joe,
yeah. But still, I what more can we say about Leo Messi? I said it yesterday, it's a real cliche saying how good he is, but how can you not talk about it?
It was unbelievable. I mean, man of the match sparkled. It's the kind of thing where you watch a match like that that's full of stars and, you know, all 22 players that start that game are in one way or another, you know, a star in some way or have been along the line. And then you just watch that game and there's always just that one guy who stands out. And 99% of the time it seems to be Leo Messi. And yesterday it was so completely him that you couldn't take your eyes off him. I mean, he dominated the game. He was everything you want him to be. And, you know, that's where, you know, him and Ronaldo are so similar because it is like that with Ronaldo a lot. Although recently, I mean, Messi more so, I feel like, is getting back to that spot where it's like he took over that game. He took that over and, like, you didn't see that from Ronaldo.
It seems, Messi, I mean, Ronaldo's played big in big games as well, but it just seems every big game, Messi is the best player.
Dazzling,
every big game.
Again.
It's incredible.
He looked like a World Cup Golden Ball winner.
Yeah,
yesterday
Pep was loving every minute
of it in the World Cup. Yeah, he was. Those reaction shots.
I gotta tell you now. You know, Bayern Munich and the brass there, right? Yeah. They have not got a big sense of humor. Right? No. They can't have liked what they saw there. Yeah. Really? Like, calm down, Pep. We know you like Barcelona and Leo Messi, but take a pill here. Have a cold shower.
Is he not coaching the unofficial Catalan squad? Is that
apparently? Yeah,
can you use that as the excuse?
But it didn't look good, did it?
No. By the time most of the listeners listen to this, the draw will already have happened tomorrow morning.
Yeah, exactly.
So should we do a mock one?
Oh, that'd be fun. Yes. Let's pretend we're doing a draw here. It'll be the best radio podcast TV you'll ever hear.
And Barcelona have drawn...
Porto.
Porto.
Monaco.
Ooh. Let's break that one
down,
shall we?
Excited.
Well, I think I took a few tweets and I got a... a buddy,
swell idea,
big Juve fan who having seen them succeed at Dortmund, which, you know, I think was quite impressive. I don't know if that's on the agenda of things to talk about, but Juve.
Oh yeah, no, Juventus it's on the list. They played this week.
Quite impressive.
Absolutely.
But would you be surprised if they got the most difficult draw?
Are you suggesting that there's
just feel like
conspiracy?
No, time and time again, it seems as though they've lost their way in getting favorable draws, and they don't seem to be as fortunate as they want.
I'm no expert on draws, Charmin. Maybe you can fill us in. You know, as you pick up
0-0, 1-1, 2-2.
Teams still can't be drawn against teams from their own nation now, right? That's not until the semis. So you can't play a team from your own country in this.
No,
in
I
the
think
quarterfinals.
Can you not?
I don't think you can.
I'm sure the quarterfinals can you not?
I feel like you can't. But
let's remember that this is a guy that told us that the FA Cup semifinal draws were done.
We discussed that last week. Oh, okay. I fully admitted that I was a moron.
I don't think that you can. So, anyways, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But like I said, by the time most people listen to this, it will have happened tomorrow morning.
Yeah, so it's irrelevant.
Friday morning.
What an irrelevant 5 minutes of radio.
All right. Good.
Juve were very good, though, weren't they? But they're superb.
Yeah. Man City could probably use that Tevez character.
Oh, boy.
Pumping in goals.
It's funny to see some of the players that have gone on, like, telling me they couldn't use Matija Nastasic. I know his team bowed out as well, but, boy, they looked good against
Great
Real.
Great piece by Michael Cox on ESPN this week about Man City and their core of players who haven't changed, really, in the last 5 or 6 years. It's been that same core, whereas most championship-winning sides, the real big boys, no matter, even if they won championships, they still move core players in and out.
Mm.
You know, Real Madrid with Di Maria and Ozil in recent years, Sanchez at Barcelona. They do it quite rapidly and just keep it's a hunger or what it is fresh, whereas City haven't done that. And listen, Kompany's half the man he used to be. Yaya's on his way out to Inter Milan by the sounds of things, right?
Really?
He's not the same.
We saw
Nasri, that little shit.
Yeah,
in a huge game, just losing the plot in the first half and forcing his coach to sub him out at halftime. Yeah.
I was thinking about you when I saw that, actually.
Where's the leadership for Man City? That's what you worry about. Because when you talk about, you know, Yaya clearly not all that happy and Kompany, I mean, it's tough to be that leader when your play on the field is garbage. So you can't exactly inspire. I mean, Kompany and Toure were the guys for a long time, the backbone, the leaders. And, you know, with those guys both kind of not apparently going to be playing a big role in the time to come.
I think
worry about where that's going to come from.
But that was their vulnerability for the last 7 years. Since they started assembling a team of football mercenaries, that was always going to be the issue. Because who really cares about character and quality when at the end you're getting $150,000 a week and you expect to play because you've been told your whole life you're the best player in the world, be that Adebayor, be that Balotelli, or any of those players in that situation. And you had a few other guys. The company was one of them. Nigel de Jong was there, who I thought were actual leaders, but not in the right setting to be able to do it. And also out of resentment for making 60 a week or 70 or however low they were on the discrepancy between the superstar players, that it was always this poisonous environment that lacked just that. It's not a ripe place for there to be good and strong leaders. And that way, I think you're going to have this continual turnover and an inability to build a legacy and win five titles.
The league two out of the last 3 years. Like, you start to wonder how much do leaders matter with these big teams, or can teams get by on talent alone?
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, look at the teams that are very successful, and it's like, okay, like Bayern Munich and Barcelona, I guess you can pick out a few, you know, leaders in those teams, but look at Man City. I mean, two Premier Leagues in the last 3 years, they don't really have that.
Right, but at this level, two Premier League titles in the last 3 years, but do you not expect them to have reached a Champions League semifinal?
Sure.
To have won two or three FA Cups?
And I think in the big games, in cup competitions, you need a leadership to organize, to drive that team forward when it gets tough, to pull them through. In a league, you need a bunch of guys that get on with each other.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
more so.
Yeah,
maybe you have
different leaders,
right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a long season, you're stuck together all the time. You better be, generally speaking, on friendly terms. I know there's going to be cliques, there always are, but the real great teams, like Arsenal's Invincibles, there were 11 leaders on that team. You know, there wasn't even one real captain. They're all equally, you know, great leaders. Bayern Munich they've got a ton. They've got Lahm, they've got Schweinsteiger. You know, you got some real leaders. You got Neuer on that team. Even Real Madrid, you got, you know, Sergio Ramos is a big leader. Ronaldo's a leader. I think, but you look at Man City, company, but he's not playing well. And to be a leader, you've got to play well as well.
Set by example.
Exactly. You can't be mouthy in the room when you've had a terrible game, which he's had this year. But it's not his fault why they haven't won a championship, a Champions League at this point, I don't think.
I just think that that will be, you know, the model that which they've assembled. I think you're right that they can get on, you know, for 23 guys can get on for 38 weeks or 38 games, but to translate it on multiple fronts and do 60 games and different competitions with the rotation that they need to because of the salaries that they're on and the players that they have, which is more rotation than other teams, that makes it really, really tricky.
Well, City too, and Pellegrini brought this point up. He said, listen, we're a relatively new team at this elite level of European football, right? We've made the last 16 the Champions League twice, and we played Barcelona both times, right? Maybe if they played in Monaco, they'd be in the quarterfinals, and then who knows?
Yeah, but whose fault is that? It's because they played like crap in the group and barely escaped and then had to play a winner. I mean,
they were lucky to get out of the group.
Big time. I mean, they were on, you know,
borrowed time.
Big time with the last two games. So, I mean, yeah, you worry where that comes from. And then they go out this offseason, they spend £40 million on Mangala. I mean, like,
in the winter, right?
So you don't really feel bad for them. Yeah. You don't feel bad for them.
Atletico Madrid beat Leverkusen on pens in the end. There's drama there.
Yeah, it was amazing. Really good. The shootout was dreadful. I mean, horrific penalties.
Give Torres credit.
From a German team, how does that happen?
I thought for sure Torres would miss that. I thought for sure, but that was a great penalty.
Yeah.
When he had to score.
A lot of really bad ones, but
they sneak through. Atletico Madrid sneak through, eh? Watch out for that team.
Yeah.
Tell you what.
Just when you want to count them out. Yeah. I tell you, honestly, I've been saying it for the last 4 years. They're not this good. They're not this good. But when they, even watching them miss, I thought, I bet you they still win.
You
talk
about leadership and resolve over talent. That's the prime example with that team, right?
Yeah. I actually like Atletico a lot. There's a lot of players that, you know, would be easy to dislike, but I love the Arda Turan and Godin and even, you know, Torres. I like that.
I like them there,
I like
too.
Them all. You know,
I like
what I mean?
Griezmann, man. He's a puff of terrible, terrible hair.
Yeah.
But he's a
good
player.
We still like punters, though. So.
Oh, well, I know. I hate him, too.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. That makes no
sense. This is the first time ever
sense.
You've said
you
that.
Know, it makes no sense.
They're an interesting like team. You know, they're easy to root for just because of their work ethic and the tenacity. And they're a bunch of kind of lunch bucket players in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I think Turan really signifies that. So good for them. I mean, I hope that, you know, they continue to go. And their fan base, it's a fun team to watch. I really do enjoy watching.
There's a team that would go to Burnley on a Monday night and beat the snot out of them and win the league.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't want to run out without talking about Man United Liverpool this weekend. Suddenly it's an enormous game.
Massive.
And it's nice to have an enormous game between these two teams because, you know, for a long time it's the biggest game in English football. In recent years it hasn't meant quite as much, but this is for fourth place right now. What do you make of Wayne Rooney's boxing celebration? Wasn't that the best thing you've ever seen?
Yeah, it was very good.
Just because he's taking the piss out of himself.
Yeah, it was great.
He's taking ownership now. Now it's gone away, that whole, you know, potential controversy distraction. Yeah.
So what you're saying is he's a PR genius.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny, actually. I watched that clip over and over of him boxing. If you watch very closely, he just kind of braces before he hits the floor. I'm not saying he wasn't knocked out.
Yeah.
But
he's playing it up.
Could it be this is a couple of, you know, drunkards after the bar. Hey, let's do this and I'll release it. Being Phil Barsley, I'll release it to the sun. Yeah. See what happens. I'm just saying, he wouldn't put it past these guys.
No, I wouldn't either. Right? And they're bored too. Like they get bored.
What are you doing if you're a 25-year-old multi-millionaire Premier League soccer player? What else do you? You must be bored.
They honestly do. Like this
women or
this
booze.
No, I know what you're saying, because they can do whatever they want.
It's just they've never lived lives like we or ordinary people. They have a lot more playtime than anybody else, and this is. Sometimes I let off steam. When I saw that video, though, the first thing, that, as soon as he fell to the floor, I couldn't believe he didn't crack his head off of that
table
cabinet.
Well,
he
wouldn't have done. He would have cracked the cabinet off his head.
Yeah.
Right,
Wayne Rooney.
Dangerous to be boxing.
Would have smashed wood. Would have smashed a granite countertop.
He's getting the basement boys with the carpet. Like, jeez. Yeah.
There's no basements in England.
No.
Right?
That's true.
That's why.
Remember,
I like his gloves though. They like the Ivan Drago gloves from Rocky IV, right?
Super interesting.
Remember, you watched Breaking Bad, right?
Yeah.
Remember the wife's male mistress there?
Yeah.
Ted Beneke?
Yeah.
He went and fell in the kitchen and cracked his head off of the same table.
Yeah.
That when I saw him fall, that my reaction was, whoa, not the knockout. I thought he was going to smash
Skyler!
That off of that.
Skyler!
Beneke. Skyler! There you go. You watch Better Call Saul or what?
Yeah, I'm you enjoying a couple it? Episodes behind.
I'm three in. It's okay.
Yeah. I've watched
I
them all.
I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. Decent. I mean, it's unfair to compare it to Breaking Bad, but it's very watchable.
Yeah,
I think so.
He's great. What's his name?
I don't know.
Odenkirk, whatever his name is.
Saul Goodman.
Saul Goodman, yeah.
Saul Goodman. I love where it came from.
Saul Goodman. Man.
Yeah. See Bob Odenkirk on the like.
That's who it is.
On the.
Pretty sure that's the actor.
Is that him? Yeah.
Pretty sure. Yeah.
I'm just glad they brought Tuco back.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So Liverpool, Man United.
I mean,
who's a favorite for this one?
I give Liverpool the edge.
Yeah. Do you?
Yeah.
The way they're playing
right now, I think that they will look at this too. This is typical of Brendan Rodgers, and I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't talk this up come Friday and into the match, that that they can treat this as being the underdogs, because more of the pressure is on United. And should Liverpool lose or drop points, let's say, I think they're still on a confident, good enough run that it won't set them back.
Yeah, but if they lose, I mean, then the gap, what is it right now?
Two points.
But as far as their
eight to go.
As far as I think that their mindset, them as a unit right now, it's not going to set them back. Whereas I think if they come out and put two past De Gea, and let's say blank
easier
United,
than.
Then that throws them off.
Yeah.
United's got a bit of a tougher run.
Where would they be without
well?
Him? Yeah, that's what I mean. I think the pressure's on United to get.
Is that Anfield too? But United were very good against Spurs.
That was
Spurs
the best game to see. Good, I think you said last week they hadn't played a good game this year. They hadn't played great, and then they came out and finally did it. That kind of came out of nowhere. I think a lot of
because
people
of Michael Carrick.
Yeah. No,
it's a big difference.
It was really good. Yeah. A lot of people expected Spurs to go there and get something, and. Spurs, man, they put that game to bed so quickly.
Spurs aren't very good.
They can't find a way in that big game, can they? That's kind of been their knock the last couple of years.
Yeah.
They kind of get there, and in that big game with the pressure on, they just can't do it.
They overachieve like crazy, and Pochettino got super lucky to have figured that out, and they went on a good run of games, and they pulled out a few good results, and then beat Southampton as well, right? And a couple teams that made you raise an eyebrow, but... Not against the big boys, and they just don't do it with enough believability to make me think that they're going to stay consistent and stay in the race.
Yeah,
but all of a sudden, this battle for top four looks like a two-team battle.
Yeah, but throw Arsenal in there as well. I mean, Arsenal are out of the woods yet, and even Man City. I mean,
so he's 1 point up in Arsenal.
Those four teams kind of battling for.
Reds are just four back of City.
And two. How many points separate two from seventh? Is it less than eight? It was eight.
50 points on Spurs. 50 points on Spurs. 8 points. Yeah.
Still eight, yeah.
8 points. But it's a great race.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's been the best one we've seen in a long time.
I forgot to mention questions until about, like, literally 5 minutes before. So 17 already.
Wow.
What?
But it's like one.
Are these people not watching March Madness?
I've got like eight from one guy, though.
Oh.
Okay, well.
Is it Dr.
Man
Khan?
No, Man Can Jump.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's run through his questions. Run down the 20 managers and decide. Sack or keep? Nope. Won't do that. Time. Name your best transfers and worst transfers and how they did compare to your early season. But nope, can't do that. Forget what our predictions
were.
My favorite thing about Charmin is he's delivering this as though he's honestly reading them just live. When he's read them and thought, wow.
I haven't read them. Honestly, I'm seeing this for the first time. Who's been the best keeper in the Prem for you? De Gea?
Yeah, without a doubt.
By a mile. Because like I said, without...
I don't know if by a
mile. Courtois's been great too. Yeah, but without De Gea, where's United? They're mid-table.
I think De Gea's bought them points more than Courtois has.
Yeah, but name one player, any random player, and say his girlfriend's hot, and it'd be yes.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yep.
I just happened to see De Gea's this week. That's why.
Could this be the weakest finish to a title race ever? I just see Chelsea, City, and Arsenal dropping more points. Well, the way Chelsea's playing right now,
Chelsea are winning it by default.
Yeah,
they really
but they're
are
not playing because, great. Yeah, it could be done within three.
Chelsea
three
go out and drop points at home to Southampton. It's like, oh, I'll still picked up a point. I mean, six with a game in hand. It's Chelsea's going to win it. And yeah, so it won't be very exciting, but yeah, it's almost by default. It's like nobody wants to win it this year. There's so much parity and there's so many, you know, drop points from the big teams against lesser teams that it's good in a way, but in a way it doesn't make for very dramatic. You'd rather two teams firing on all cylinders going blow for blow every week.
But Manu, yeah, it's a bit like Chelsea winning this year. It's a bit like Manu winning it 3 years ago now, I guess 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
They won it through default.
Yeah. Right.
Right, and Chelsea at one point were running away with this title.
Yeah.
Superb, but haven't been great since. Go through City's squad and say who should stay and who should go. Bradford City? No, I've not got time for that.
Oh, I thought you meant Stoke City.
Norwich City.
I thought you meant Stoke City.
Stoke City, yeah.
I thought you meant Stoke City, bro. Okay, yeah. Have a tie-in dress since we're on the Chelsea conversation. Why won't Chelsea play Cuadrado?
I missed it. Was it a joke? I missed it.
Why won't Chelsea play Cuadrado?
Because they prefer Willian. But it's a really good question. You spend all that money.
Spend all that money and then...
And then you sit him on the bench. It takes a while to adjust, I know that. But you've got to start resting some players. You have to if you're Jose Mourinho.
Disappointing.
Stop looking at Marsh Madness.
No, I wasn't. There's like a fly stuck between the windows and it scared the shit out of
me. There's a dog with a fluffy tail over there.
Oops.
A shiny object.
I said that when they bought him.
Really disappointing the listeners. They take time and ask these questions. We completely dismiss it. No,
we should maybe do
a
weekly podcast. A weekly podcast, which is just answering questions.
Yeah.
That would be good. I haven't got time for that.
Like Have Your Say Thursday or something.
Have Your Say Thursday. We could call it that, couldn't we?
That'd be great.
Yeah, we're out of time. Sorry. Thank you for your questions. They are. Most of them are okay.
Well, how about we reply to a few of them on Twitter?
Go right ahead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Intern Dunlop. That's your job today.
Yeah, Dunlop the intern.
Sitting. Sorry.
Yeah.
Dunny the temp.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was a pretty shitty podcast.
Hold on.
It wasn't great.
It wasn't great, was it?
No.
Yeah, we're in a bit of a rush today. You know, I'm knackered. I've been on air since like 4 noon.
Yeah.
I wouldn't care anyway, either way, but I'm just tired.
At least you got some sweet music to go home and unwind to.
Yep. Elena Watko, JUATCO. Can you get this on iTunes?
Yeah, and Google Play. Yeah.
Yeah?
Beyond this line.
Okay, cool.
Google Play is far too cool for me.
Find even Google Elena and just find out. Ask her, in fact, on Twitter, what are you doing? You
what
can do so much better.
What could possibly be doing?
Justin
with this
Bieber's
guy.
Available.
With him and his flat cap.
That's good. How like that?
Yeah.
This
is
a Charmin collection.
That's good.
Yeah, newspaper.
Yeah,
good.
I can't make fun of it.
Oh, well, listen, whoever's left, both of you.
We're sorry.
It's your fault. You knew what to expect. You knew when you downloaded this podcast what to expect. So you know what? I'm going to apologize. I always do, but it's your own bloody fault. So don't complain.
See you next week.
Not a good podcast.